welcome to the table, by the way. So I want to invite you to this conversation. So I was just driving in this Armageddon. Uh-huh. Were you out there? Did you
no,
get to
I waited.
See it?
Yeah.
So there was like hail and lightning and freezing rain and all this stuff. And I'm like, what kind of Armageddon are we living in?
Yeah.
It's 46 degrees outside. But anyway, so.
Yeah, I waited, let it pass, and then came.
But did you see, did it hail and all that at your
it
house?
It was hailing, yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Because usually when they say there's hail, there's a tornado that's following it. So I just knew there was going to be one behind me, but I don't know. I was like, goodness gracious, I'm scared to go tomorrow. What tomorrow's going to hold, you know, it's all this new stuff. But anyway, real quick, there was a big, huge bombing in Gaza. So like if you're following the what's going on in Israel, prophecy is that Gaza will be no more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like we're just anticipating and waiting for Gaza mm-hmm. to be no more. Not that we're any kind of prophets. It's just what the Bible says. And so you just have to wait. You can't like say prophecy's been fulfilled because Gaza's still. And we just have to kind of wait and watch. But these are the things that the Bible says is going to happen. And so we're just patiently, well, I'm kind of impatiently, you know, wanting things to get going. I'm ready. I'm ready to.
And we were just talking about, because I downloaded the Telegram app, and that's one way that we talked about on the podcast is to keep up with Amir Sarfati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's sad that they censor so much stuff that you have to go to, you know, like they're hiding so much stuff from us.
I was listening to him on YouTube, and he was like, you know, I can't put a lot of the content on here. You'll have to go to Telegram for everything because they take down
all the videos.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got proof. I've got maps. I've got pictures. I've got everything. I mean, he lives there. So I'm going to believe him over anybody else. But whatever. I don't know. That's a whole mess. So if you watch that, that was exciting this week to possibly, you know, it's exciting but sad. You know, like I'm excited because it's prophecy, but.
And they took out two Iranian leaders.
Yes. Big ones. Yep. Yeah. Crazy. So, okay. Becoming a biblical wife is kind of like where we left off.
She wanted to talk about this a little bit more this week. So.
Well, I just felt like we've talked about it. We've stepped on our toes. We have done some damage, you know, like woke up a little bit. Now it's time to kind of talk about how to start being that. If that's who the Bible has called us to be, then that's our goal to be it. So how can we start being it when we're so far indoctrinated by this world? So that's kind of like where I want to go with it. So the very first thing I have, and it's probably going to tie in with some stuff that you've done. The very first thing before you can change, you know, and this is someone who's already in Christ. This is, you know, you're convicted. And so if you're not in Christ, you have to be saved first. But I'm talking about people who are in Christ and you've realized, you've listened to this and your toes have been stepped on that you could be a better wife and things like that. The very first thing you have to do is pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go into it and not pray. And I think it can't just be like, I want to change.
Yeah. And that's your connection to the Father, so He can help you. He'll have the Holy Spirit help you.
Right.
And it's a two-way relationship. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
That's right.
So if we don't have prayer, we don't have a way of communicating, and that's the basis of a lot of what we do.
Yeah. You know, we assume that Jesus knows us. Like, we just assume, oh, because we went to church a couple times, Jesus knows us. But we know that in Matthew, He tells some people, I never knew you. Like, I don't know who you are. So I think we have a false picture of that Jesus is just up there and He loves us. Like, if you don't tell Him anything about yourself and you don't accept Him into your life and you don't have a relationship with Him where you tell Him things and then He tells you things by you getting in the Word of God, then you don't know Jesus. That is the relationship He's looking forward
to. Well, and if you take that out of like the biblical context, but if you know someone and you're communicating with them, that's how you grow with each other. That's how you maintain your friendship. You communicate with each other. I mean,
if I just saw you 12 times.
If I didn't know you, like, you don't know, I don't know you. So it's just, it's the same kind of thing. And we just have to kind of incorporate it into what God teaches us through the Bible.
That's right.
Prayer's the big thing. Prayer and obedience.
Prayer. I have obedience on here. I do. I can't ever like leave it off my list. And the next thing I have on here is surrender. You have to surrender yourself. Some of us may be control freaks, or some of us may, you know, not really have focused on our family and home as much as what God has called us to do. And you're realizing that. And so you have to surrender your life to change and to grace. You have to give yourself a lot of grace when you're changing as well.
I believe that.
Yeah, because it's going to be, it's easy to go into the old way, you know, and then the Holy Spirit, he'll convict you. He'll be like, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. And then you start to kind of like understand, and then you're able to conquer that and move on. But a process.
Let go of the perfection. Mm-hmm. That's been a hard thing for me, is like, oh my gosh, I messed up. Like,
right.
Hold that, and I carry that, and that's not what this is about.
Yeah. I think there's a good balance with that, because you don't want perfection, but then you also don't want laziness either, and right. to keep making excuses. So I feel like you have to have a healthy balance from both. I tend to be on the lazy side, you know, where I'm like, I don't want to cook tonight, you know? I don't want to do laundry tonight. I don't want to do that. But it's because we're so, you know.
But do you do it?
Sometimes I do, yeah. If my kids, if we've ate out a lot, then everybody wants a home-cooked meal. But I do, I love to cook. I love to cook, and I love to cook for people.
I don't.
But we just, you know, no. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love to do it, like, with a bunch of people. You know, I love to host. I don't know. But anyway. But surrender. So you have to surrender your whole life, your will, your, you know, like, your plans. You know, if you really want to focus on your husband, because that's what we're to be doing. And this is new for mm-hmm. me, because I'm a mom and I'm a grandma. And David always gets the end because mm-hmm. he's the husband, you know, and that's not how it's supposed to be. So I'm really trying to, this past week he lost his grandmother. And, so I had said to us last week that I had homework, that I had to go home and tell my husband that I needed more hugs. And we verified it at church.
She did.
I did tell David he needed to give me more hugs. And so for me, when I'm kind of stepping out and looking at it, I think David is going to need a lot of hugs this week. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking that God is teaching David about hugs.
Yeah.
It's just weird how the Lord... He's always got a lesson. And then, of course, for me, I'm going to get my hugs. So, you know, like, it's a win-win for both. But that's how he works. And so, yes, he's going to use that teaching moment for David about needing hugs, because David has needed hugs over the last couple of days. So he's going to teach David that through a, you know, a struggle, a storm. That's when he does his best teaching. And we hate going through struggles and storms. But that's when he meets us. He doesn't meet us in our everyday, like, happy and, you know. It's been a long time since I've been, like, way, way mountaintop, you know. I say that, but I have nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like a, yeah. I don't know. Okay. Self-evaluation?
Yeah.
That's hard. Have you always been a self-evaluator?
No.
Not there. Mm-mm. It's just since we've had to...
The Holy Spirit starts talking to you and telling you, like,
I know.
Keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
Go give him a kiss. Like, before I left, I was like,
you are growing, Lisa. She made breakfast Sunday. Bunny cinnamon rolls, and sent me a picture of it. I was so proud of her.
Cute little cinnamon rolls, Brittany.
So cute. They were so cute.
You made
so,
little bunny ears.
And you know what? So out of when we came out of church, I said, Tommy, I heard you got breakfast this morning. He was like, yeah, cinnamon rolls. She's growing. You are so good. You're a living sacrifice.
He's working on me. Yeah. Like, I noticed the little, like, the thoughts that he's putting.
And he's so gentle with it at first.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's kind of like,
you know, when I was leaving to come here, Tommy was home, and he was sitting on that into the bed, and I was like, I'm getting ready to leave. And then I turn around to get my phone and my purse and stuff, and I'm like, it's in my head. And he's like, give him a kiss.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But there's beauty in that, and there's treasure in that. And that's what's so funny, because like, you can be funny about it. Like, you know the Lord is saying, go over and kiss him, because you've been praying that you and your husband, you know what I'm saying? You're like, but Lord, you know, I mean, he gets you. He gets you every time. And it's beautiful. And you appreciate it. And you laugh. And you have joy because of it. It's crazy.
It was literally a...
I've had to make myself do stuff before. Like, Lord, I want you to know that I'm only doing this because of you.
And I want the reward for it.
Yes, and I do want treasure. That one's a good one. That one's a big one. So, okay, and then I had to ask about what David wanted from me. Was that the question, or needed from me? And at first, you know, he had that little smirk
on
his face.
What's one thing you would want me to do for you?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So he had that little smirk on his face, and I'm like, no, like, and he said, to respect me. And I was like, okay, go a little deeper. And he said, even when he's wrong, to not like
call him out,
you know, to wait. But he don't like to be told he's wrong at any time. But okay, I can wait till we're in private to tell him that he's wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, if I don't agree with him or whatever, so instead of like it in front of other people. So I was like, okay, we do that with my son, because they both are in business together. So they have, sometimes they go at it. And so I have to be the middleman. And if I take David's side, then it's just, it's a horrible situation to be in. It is. I'm like, Lord.
You two figure
it out. Yes, yes. Like, this is your business.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so self-evaluation. And then one thing I put in here is, who's the judge? And that's the Word of God. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. If the Word of God says it's wrong, or I mean, there's no excuse that we can make. I mean, I've tried to do that too. Like, oh, I've had a bad life, or this happened to me, or whatever. You know, had all these excuses and stuff. But the excuses don't work. The Word of God is who you judge your life, your actions, your deed, your everything by. And so we're to die first. And so that means we have to physically change our routine or our habit, or making breakfast, or being obedient. When he tells you to kiss him, like, you can't not do it. Like, when you start minding the Lord, like when you start obeying, like, it's so hard to disobey, because it's so hard to obey. Is it not so hard to obey? And then when it comes time to disobey, you're like, no. Yeah. I've been through
that. Take that chance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that. And that's how you know that your faith is genuine, because you are waiting on the Lord, and you're waiting for him to teach you and lead you and direct you. And when he directs you, you're obedient. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. All right. But we have to die to ourselves. We have to put others' needs in front of ours, like our husband's needs in front of ours. His joy in front of ours, and his happiness. So that's a tough thing that we have to realize, that that's what we're to do. Put his needs, his joy, and his happiness in front of ours.
But he's also supposed to do that for us.
He is, but that's a if. That will come because of our obedience to him. So regardless, if he's grumpy, we have to keep in, like, when you know what your mission is, it's kind of like you expect the bad behavior. You know, you expect... Mm-hmm. For him to act like that, but that's what changes his life. Like when that woman on that cold porch that slept on that porch, because her reaction was different, even though he locked the door.
Yeah,
that's what changed his life. Not the beating that David would have got if he'd locked me out. That would not have changed.
She was a saint.
Yes.
Yes.
But you saw. But when you look at her, you think about her.
She was an agent of influence.
She was.
Yeah.
She was an angel.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, like, the control. But that's when you have the fruit of the Spirit.
I would have been out there crying.
Yes. Yes. But and I'm sure she did.
I wouldn't have stayed out there.
She probably did. She probably, but I guess it's because she had so much self-discipline. Yeah. And probably the Lord told her to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably didn't want to. And she probably cried and everything. But that's the part about obedience that is just amazing after you. When you can start walking with the Lord, you know, It's good. But she's able to have the calmness and the patience and the self-control because she walks with, I mean, you can't have the fruit of the spirit if you don't walk daily with the Lord because it's so easy to be flesh. So like if I get behind in my reading, like, I've been consumed with a funeral, and so I'm making the video, I'm singing a song, I'm reading a tribute to David's grandmother, and so I've been consumed with that, and so I have not listened to very many sermons, and I can see self immediately, and I'm like, really,
It's
Lord?
that easy and that quick.
Really, Lord, am I not, and then you start saying, well, I'm not faithful, and it's not that you're not faithful. You can't do it without him. Like, he's what sustains you. He's what keeps you going. And you step out of line and you'll be taken out because you can only stand strong in him. Everything else, it will get you eventually. So self-evaluation and then change. So that's what I've got so far. What have you got?
Tell him who you see him becoming.
Mm-mm.
Speak truth into his life. You
That's
know how
right.
you've encouraged me and you've spoken truth into my life. That's what we should be doing for our husbands.
And you have to, that has to be prayed about too, because like you don't want to be like, you're gonna be this big leader when your husband doesn't have leader qualities. It's who God has created him to be. Maybe he's the back guy. Maybe he's the come in after guy. You don't know what it is. Maybe he's not the one that's gonna lead a Bible study, but I bet he'll be good at like something else,
I was
there's just
listening
different
to this
gifts.
preacher and he said on TikTok and he said, if you complain that he's not spiritual and one day he says, hey, let's go to church, he says, go kiss him and stick your tongue in his ear and tell him you make me feel so close to Jesus when you talk about church.
Yes.
Affirm him.
Yes. We all need it.
And he says, you build up what you want to see. Anytime you see something you like, affirm it in him. Men generally want to know that we believe in them.
That's right.
And then he goes on to talk about, pursue each other with words of affection and affirmation. That's hard.
It is very hard.
Because when you're not feeling like it doesn't feel genuine.
Yep.
But the more I think you would
You
do
would do
it,
it.
it
Your focus has to change. Your priority has to change. Like, right now in my life, David's just part of my family. You know what I'm saying? So I've got like taking the kids here, take the kids there. And so David's just kind of like, I don't want to say, but he's just kind of been the rear for so long. But if I elevate him and I put him, like he's my focus. That he's my warrior man. He's the one that is going to be leading my family in these end days. I need him to be strong. I don't need him to be weak. And I have probably just maybe a couple months to get him there. When you have an urgency to make this man not pushy, but let me tell you, encouragement, build up, edification will knock down any kind of wall that you and your husband have. When you start speaking truth into who your husband is and who God says your husband is, and you use those words on him, you'll have a man, you'll have the man of your dreams. And in those moments of when they fall short or have shortcomings, you'll overlook them with grace. Like you will love them so much for everything else that they've done. And it's all because we're not coming into who God has created us to be. We live in this world that thinks that Jesus loves us and how dare he will never send us to hell, and that's the saddest part. I was reading something and it says he loves you with every fiber in his being, but he will let you go to do what you have chose. We're not getting our bridal, oh, our us as women will, we're supposed to be getting our bridal gown ready, to meet our groom. And so we have a choice in what kind of woman we're going to be. And a lot of people think that Jesus loves you and he's going to let you go to heaven, but he will let you go. Make your choice. And so we get to choose what kind of woman we're going to be. Are we going to be one that is of the world, who lets the world, do their agenda, and or are we going to be somebody who's preparing for our Savior to come back?
Jesse was talking about the eclipse and everything in Sunday school Sunday, and just talking about how, people are getting all into this and reading more into it than what they should, and that how it's an omen and we're not supposed to get into that. And he gave us verses to read on that. But we're not supposed to be like the worldly stuff. That's exactly what we're doing when we get into all that stuff. Does the Bible say anything about
I mean, there's
that?
always eclipses and stuff. When Jesus died,
But
there
it
was an
doesn't say
eclipse.
anything about.
In Revelations, it says the moon will turn to blood, or to say it'll turn black, or whatever.
But it's not even time for that. So it's kind of, he
Well,
was
it
just
says
saying.
that he has put the moon and the stars and the sun for signs, seasons, and days. So, I mean, I kind of.
They're talking about how this eclipse puts a red X or puts an X over the United States, and he was just like, just don't buy into all that stuff.
I mean, it's if it, whatever's going to happen, God's going to do it because he's in control of creation. I did listen to a man who was talking about after an eclipse. He feels like, because I mean, everybody knows this is judgment. I mean, we live in the United States and we're breaking every law or and every commandment that the Lord has in front of us. So we definitely are under
And the
judgment.
White House made the
Oh, yeah, Easter.
Resurrection Sunday the
Happy Transgender Day or whatever. Just ridiculous.
transgender visibility or whatever. Ridiculous.
I had two sermons that I had listened to the other day that was talking about they believe that 40 days after the eclipse is when is what actually is going to happen, because any time that God sent judgment, it was 40 days. And then on that 41st day, that is when it actually happened. And he had many, many, I mean, over and over and over with scripture of how something would happen. And then 40 days late or 41 days later on that 41st day, that judgment happened. I do believe that. I believe that the Lord is very calculated.
One of the things that Jesse said is like the eclipse, it's an omen. This is not in the Bible. Something may come of it, but won't know until after. And that's kind of what you're
Yeah, the
saying
40
about.
days, yeah. But I mean, there was an eclipse when Jesus died. So there was 3 hours of darkness, and then there was a huge earthquake. And so, a lot of
And then he
people.
was just talking about don't go beyond what's written in the
Right.
word.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the Lord can use whatever he wants to use. And so, like, I think it's great that it's getting attention just because, I mean, people need to get ready. I mean, I can't say that nothing's going to happen after it. I can't say because we're so far in the end in this war and all this stuff. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
And then we're so much further into right being wrong and wrong being right, and I mean, it's just
And the closer that we get to Jesus coming back, the crazier things are going to happen. I mean, there's going to be meteors fall out of the sky. There's going to be
well, they just
locusts
had
that
some
have
kind
demon
of,
heads.
yeah, they just had some big meteor or something happen in California
So, I mean,
yesterday.
these are the things. This is getting closer and closer to Jesus.
There's
So,
supposed to be a tsunami happening
yeah.
in
I
Taiwan.
mean, I just drove through the Armageddon. I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was crazy. So, like, it is really, it's going to get weird. It's going to get weird.
So we have to stand firm
We have to stand firm.
and try not to be weird.
Yeah.
That's our
And
message.
elevate our husbands. And another
Let's
thing.
bring it back, Lisa. Elevate our
Yeah,
husbands.
elevate our husbands. Because and then you also have to understand that you can't take your standards of who you want to be and what your husband wants to be and what your children want to be by a magazine or by anything, by Oprah or by The View or whatever. I hate that show.
It's awful.
It is. But you can't be that type of woman. Like you have to, because the worldly woman that Oprah and the art is completely opposite of what God's word says that a woman should be. And,
And there's only one way, and that's through Jesus
that's
Christ.
right. That's
Like, I
right.
know Oprah kind of believes that
You
there's
think
like
there's all
many
kinds.
ways to.
And so if there was many ways, then God would not have said, okay, if there's another way, I'm not going to send my son. But people are stupid. So anyway. Okay. So one thing that a wise woman does is that she builds her home. And I think that our home needs to become the focus again. of us women. You know, these are small changes that I'm encouraging that we need to do after we've prayed, after we've done all those other steps. Caring for your home, not just the structures, but for your temple. We tend to, this has to be good before you can do anything on the outside, right? You're so funny.
We're getting deep.
All right. I'm telling you, all of these different, I don't know how I numbered. Like I said, I just picked up a piece of paper and then like I was just writing on the back. But
I wanted to read Ephesians 22 and go over a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who teaches good on this is Kay Arthur. Have you ever listened to her? Woo! Yes, I've got some things from her. Go ahead.
So this is Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And so the lady that I was watching, she was teaching on how to be a godly wife, and she started talking about the verse 22 where it says, be subject to your own husbands. And she said, being subject is being under the influence or having an allegiance regardless of their spiritual standing. So this doesn't mean that we're less than. Jesus allowed himself to be subject to God. Our husbands are ultimately responsible for us, and we'll have to answer to God. They're responsible mm-hmm. for us and the family and the household and all that stuff.
Right.
As protector and provider.
I believe one thing that the husband's going to be responsible for is what our children watch on the internet, because he's supposed to keep the snakes out. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at your home, how do the snakes get in? Through the internet, through your TV, through your child's music. I believe those are the sins of the children that will be held on the father, because he was supposed to protect them from.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in same way with a wife, if you're playing video games and not wanting to be with your wife and stuff like that, and she has an affair, of course, she's going to have to answer for that as well, but I believe that you'll have a part in it as well, because you're supposed to be protecting your house.
Mm-hmm.
And same way as moms. I mean, we're to protect our husbands like a guard. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then he protects the family. It just all kind of goes in. It's perfect because it's his order. And so, therefore, if you do it that way, it's perfect. It's divine. So,
Our number one priority should be to place the character of God as what we strive for. So we should be imitators of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And God sees. She went on to talk about, you know, when our husbands they might say something slick, like you usually mm-hmm. say. They might be unkind in certain ways, but she said, God knows your situation.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the good, bad, the ugly, everything. Right. And so you're to go to him.
Yeah.
Even though you feel like being fleshly and getting back at him.
That's right.
And so the way that you win your husband is to live a godly life, regardless of if you think he's worthy. And so, again, this is where we have to be agents of influence.
That's right. You know, the Bible talks about being a wise woman or a foolish woman. In everything, it's don't be like the foolish woman. Don't be like the foolish woman. And it's someone who doesn't follow. And this was one thing that I loved. This is what Kay Arthur said. She said, we don't understand sin. We don't know right from wrong. We have we've changed and diluted the words of God. We don't believe that him being a good judge and a just judge and a holy God full of love, that he loves everybody so much, he doesn't want one person to perish. He leaves the 99 to save the one, but don't be a foolish woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior and risen Savior, he will allow you to receive your wishes. Don't get it mixed up. He will let you spend eternity in hell. So it all goes to don't being a foolish woman, and it's not knowing the word. We don't know the word of God, and so therefore, it's hard for us to stand when it's time to stand. So, and we women who are standing right now, we have to be in prayer for other women, that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that God will raise them up, make them bold, elevate them, have them lift their voice, because the way we have to have women crying out. In Jeremiah, there's a verse that talks about the women wailing. They were wailing prayers. They were the ones who were your prayer warriors, who were, you know, went to battle on their knees. I can't ever remember a time that I wailed like a prayer. Like I was that sincere, begging the Lord for something to happen. I mean, and so that convicted
me. I don't know that I wailed, but I felt like I was like
in battle. Yeah.
Pouring myself out. Like,
but I'm thinking, like, if we had a group of women to wail for our men to rise up, or revival to happen, I mean, like, that really spoke to me. Like, man, you know, do I focus? I mean, do I just pray for something, or do I really focus on something, wanting it to change? Or is it just like a, you know, I prayed for that or whatever, but like to pray for it is to, I think, just be engulfed with it.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right. You got anything else?
Yeah, I want to talk about Abigail. And it's in 1 Samuel 25. And so she is Nabal's wife. And Nabal is not a very nice man.
Okay.
And so David helped him out in his time of trouble. And so there came a time where David needed help, and he refused to help David. And so when Abigail got word of this, she went ahead and got 200 loaves of bread, the wine, you know, and she went out to her and her staff. They went out to meet David and get to him before he came in and killed people because of the rejection, because he couldn't believe that Nabal was not going to help him when, you know,
right.
he helped him and he was missing nothing. They didn't take anything for helping him. When she gets to David, she's talking to him about, you know, forgive me, I apologize. She took the ownership of what her husband had done. She was setting an example.
Mm-hmm.
She told him that she brought all this stuff, and she was being an example.
An influencer.
An influence, an imitator of Christ. And so because of this, David didn't kill anyone.
He talked him right out of it.
Yeah, and so one of the things that the lady that I was watching teaching on this, she was like, you know, she, Abigail told him, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. And so Nabal goes on, when she comes back and she tells Nabal what happened, he ends up dying. It says his heart went dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ends up becoming David's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things she said is, you know, what if we talk to our husbands like that?
Yeah.
You know, even though you're being ugly, even though you've said these things, you go to him and say, I don't want this to be a blemish on your record.
Right, right.
So we are human. Our husbands are human. They misuse words. They say the wrong things. They act angry in certain situations. And we're to influence them in that situation.
To say, calm down.
I love you. I honor you. I honor your position of our household too much to let this be a blemish on your record.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And then she said, start saying to your husbands, you know, when you say this, the part about don't let this be a blemish on your record, say this and do it because you love God, not to be cynical to your husband.
That's right.
So you're not saying this just to be like, you know, holier than thou,
right,
pointing the finger.
Be a blemish on your record.
Yeah.
You know?
It says,
concern.
She wants you to say, I love you enough to protect you that I will not let this be a blemish on your record.
Right.
I love you.
We're to call out sin.
Yes.
Yeah. We're to strengthen.
And that's
them
how we protect them. And who they're supposed to be in Jesus.
Right.
And who we see them becoming.
Yep.
And so one of the things she said, in your marriage, if you could start speaking truth and love to each other, you can say, I love you for opening the car door for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, get in the habit of saying, yep, I love you for, and fill in the blank.
You know,
I love
harder.
You because you heard me and gave me a hug.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. You know, it was hard for me to say those things to him, or I don't know that it was hard for me, but I would just be like, thank you, Lord, for letting, and I would start thanking the Lord for it. And then it got to the point where I could say it to David.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. Because sometimes it's hard. There's a lot of hurt there, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing about it. Like, it's amazing that the Lord makes your marriage come back to life when you start taking mm-hmm. steps towards. I mean, it's crazy how he'd bring anything that's dead.
I can't tell you the last time me and Tommy kissed, like, even just like a little peck on the mouth. And today we twice.
You kissed twice, sure, girl.
Just saying. The Lord's working.
And you still got what? You still got 8 hours left?
No. I go to bed at 9.
It's so funny. So you never know. I mean, but yeah, that's great.
And she went on to say, start making this a daily habit and tell each other when you're in an argument, hear each other out. And if you're in the wrong, say, I'll try to do better the next time.
Yeah.
You know, just take it and show that you're willing to change. be willing to love better.
Yep.
That's hard.
It is. But it's all goes back to your focus. If he becomes your focus, then you're just thinking about, okay, what can I do for him? And I know at first it's going to be hard. Like, even telling your husband that you need something from him is hard. And you might have a joke about it at first, but it gets easier. And then it becomes a habit. And it's like that for anybody. It doesn't really have to be a spouse. Like, it could be, you know, a family member, you know, like mm-hmm. if you're having to take care of a family member. I mean, it's about changing communication and telling somebody what you need and not expecting them to read your mind. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So boys and girls don't think the same. No, they don't.
Thank goodness.
Yes. And one thing that I think is huge too for women is modesty. I'm just going to say it. Because men are visual. And so that should always be in your mind, in the back of your mind. Like, is what I have on, is it too far down? I mean, you know, I'm not saying that I've never worn a low shirt or, I mean, you know, but it's what me and my husband are comfortable with, you know. And I mean, I guess that could be, y'all could be comfortable with a lot, but you're not supposed to make someone else stumble. And if you're hanging out, I've got all kinds of stuff in my hair. If you're hanging out all over the place, then, you know,
yeah,
that's not good. Mm-hmm. No, it's not good. So
cover up, ladies.
Yeah, cover the ladies, okay?
So, if you have them.
But anyway, so those are just a few little things. And I think that we are probably good. Do you feel good and beat down? Or do you think we need another week of this? Go ahead.
We can do another week.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Okay. That's great. I could not believe it. There's just a lot to learn.
There is.
And it's like the most important part. This is the most important part. And I'm not saying that you go home and you act like Mother Teresa or anything like that. Like, you still have to be who you are. But if you start putting him, it's just like the Lord's going to bless you. And then you'll start seeing his faithfulness. And then that just makes you want to do more. And then you get addicted to him. And then you just can't. You have to be obedient. You have to walk over and kiss your husband twice in one day.
Dang it.
So I'm anxious to hear what happens for the rest of the night.
Do we have homework for each other?
Okay. What do you want to do? Let's see.
Let's practice I love you for.
Okay, I love you for.
All right. And fill in the blank. And being more focused and intentional on saying, I love you for that.
See, this goes for you all too. So I'm not going through this stuff alone. So I'm just not. I think we can all do this. And then just think about what the men will be at the very end of that. So
Tommy will probably look at me like I have 3 kids.
No, I'm telling you. I mean, your husband's like coming to Sunday school. I don't know that you really.
He asked for a Bible. He was like, I need to get me a Bible. I was like, I got one.
I mean, seriously.
He was like, no, I want the ones with the tabs. I'm like, We're going to do that.
Because that's the Holy Spirit.
Abby looked at me like.
Do you, I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing. So anyway, you start. And I don't think the enemy, I think at some point the enemy, I mean, has to know that, like, I mean, he'll always try to come at you. But I think it's like, we've won these battles.
Mm-hmm.
These, I mean, because, you know, you're getting blessed by it. So
yeah.
You always have to be on the lookout. But I hate telling people, like, oh, closer to God, be ready for the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's scary, but that's the truth. It is. Yeah. Like, he's waiting to take you out. So, all right, we will see you next week, and we will be talking about biblical women again. Yeah. See you next week.
Bye.